All right. Welcome to episode 4 of the Sports Legacy Podcast. We're out here for this next episode. It's going to be a little bit of a long one, just as a heads up. Jason's apparently ready to go on some sort of a rant today about a bunch of different things. I know. Apparently, you guys didn't get it all out with your OU bashing last week, so we're going to, I'm sure, but, you know, college football playoffs, so.
I don't have much OU bashing. Kyler for Heisman.
I'm sure you stayed up late that night just watching those highlights that I sent you.
Oh, I watched the whole game.
And then you rewatched it?
Nope, not yet.
Sweet. We can just jump right in. You guys just want to kind of just recap, you know, maybe we all pick a game, recap a game that we all kind of were drawn to yesterday. Broncos are on a good tear right now. Case Keenum hasn't thrown an interception in 4 straight games, which is insane. He's definitely being very, very safe with the ball, which I appreciate because, you know, when he's not, bad things happen. But he's being very, very safe. A little light on Bill Musgraves, which there's still some interesting offensive play calling. But Keenum threw the ball 21 times, not more than 30. And Phillip Lindsay actually almost had 20 carries. If you look at the total amount that we passed and the total amount that we ran, running outweighed it, which you guys have heard me, like, what, for the past 12 weeks say, why is Keenum throwing the ball more than Phillip Lindsay and Royce Freeman are getting the ball? So we ran the ball with both of them 31 times. So that's a nice stat to see. Lindsay is a baller. Saquon's probably going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, but, you know, Phillip Lindsay is having an equally as good of a year, I would say, as Saquon, especially in his situation. But, yeah, Lindsay balled out.
So I'm going to take a moment there to kind of say this is why everybody hated that the Giants took Saquon Barkley at number 2, even though I thought it was fine. I think the pick was good because even though they didn't take a quarterback, when they take one next year, that quarterback is going to have Saquon Barkley standing next to him, and Saquon Barkley is good at blocking, he's good at running, he's good at catching, he's going to be a huge weapon for whatever quarterback they draft or whatever quarterback they get, Teddy Bridgewater.
Yep.
And but this is why everybody was so critical of the Giants drafting Saquon is because you look at the Broncos with Phillip Lindsay and they're getting success out of that. Then you go over to the Chargers and they were able to find Justin Jackson in the 7th round. And you know people are going to bring up Justin Jackson and Saquon Barkley arguments now. And you got all these late round guys or undrafted guys that produce very well. And whenever that happens, you feel like that running back position gets a little more devalued. And so it's going to be interesting to see now with Phillip Lindsay having that kind of game, with Justin Jackson breaking out, with there's one more, I'm forgetting his name, for Green Bay, isn't there? Aaron Jones was undrafted, and or 5th rounder, so a late round guy. And I think he leads the league in yards per carry, doesn't he, or yards per attempt? So you have all these late round guys, and then you have Saquon Barkley. I personally think the move is fine, but we're going to see a lot of that this coming week.
Oh yeah, because it's like it brings into question: should the running back position be even drafted as high as it was? I think that's what you were getting at, correct?
Yes, and I mean, like I said, I think it should, because you got Ezekiel Elliott, who was drafted at 4, right? four or five.
Yeah.
And
yeah, four or five.
And then you got Barkley, who was drafted at two. And you got Fournette, who was drafted somewhere around there too. And it's like all those three guys are huge for their team.
But back to just kind of the end of this game. Lots of injuries. Josie Jewell went down. Strap Harris went down, which is a blow. But as long as we can get into the wild card, if we can slip in there, he'll be back to play for that. So that's good news. Yeah, like most of our, we only had three. I mean, you guys know how deep our edge rushing linebackers are. We were down to three yesterday. So it's like, and it's funny that, like, I always see Joe Woods take Von Miller out at random times when he probably shouldn't be out. And yes, he didn't get to Driscoll as much as I thought he would, but dude, he was just manhandling Bobby Hart yesterday.
Just that play,
I don't know if you guys saw that play where he pushed him with one hand. Is that what you're about to say?
That was nasty.
Yeah, gross. But Ravens need to lose out. I'm cool with the Colts staying where they are, but yeah, I need the Ravens to lose out. The only game I'm concerned about for Denver is that end of the year San Diego game, but yeah, it's the revenge. The revenge game for you guys.
The end of the year Los Angeles game, I think you mean.
Sorry. I'm just going to keep saying San Diego until it sticks in my mind that it's Los Angeles. I'm always going to say San Diego. Or, you know, you make up your mind that you're staying in Los Angeles. Once those rumors stop, in my mind.
Those are just San Diego hopefuls. We don't want to get into that.
Yeah. But last, like, couple things on this game. Jeff Driscoll doesn't look too bad. I actually kind of enjoyed watching him more than I like watching Andy Dalton.
I hate watching Andy
Dalton. Yeah. Like, Jeff Driscoll threw a lot of actually, like, pretty on-point passes yesterday. So that's – I think he'll be able to handle the Bengals just fine. I just think – he is young, and I think our pass rush was getting to him pretty bad. Chubb continues his you know, his campaign for defensive rookie of the year with his good Von Miller strip sack impression, which was good to see. And it was good to see our defensive line continue to, even though we had so many injuries yesterday. Shelby Harris is coming out of, I mean, I've always actually loved Shelby Harris. I thought he was a great interior lineman for us. And he's continuing to show what he's made of the past 2 weeks, which they called his second sack back as a half sack because Von Miller kind of got there first. But, Shelby Harris is looking good. I don't know if you guys have watched much of him, but he's
not specifically, but I see glimpses of him.
Yeah. And then he came out the gate with two sacks yesterday, and he's one of those, another like player who, you know, it was kind of the same situation. I think it was when Derek Wolfe went down, which, I mean, he goes down like every year because he's injury prone as well, but one of the years he went down, we signed him off of practice squad, and I really like him and the way he's been playing, and the way actually Adam Gotsis has been playing. I've been really impressed by both of them, to where I almost think we don't need to draft a defensive tackle. I think our problem is at middle linebacker. Todd Davis plays okay. He has his shines. Brandon Marshall's always injured. This just continues my case to why Denver needs to draft Devin White out of LSU. And then, Jason, I'm sure you have some words about last night, two of them being Justin Jackson.
Okay. Okay, so the game last night.
Get ready, folks.
I don't have too much to say about it. The game last night was terrifying for me. All week, I had the Chargers losing this one by 10. And, well, I mean, I wanted to be realistic. It's a primetime game, beginning of December in cold Pittsburgh, Big Ben at home. You have the Steelers coming off a loss to Denver. They probably have a sour taste in their mouth. Then you got that week of controversy where Big Ben's calling out of his out his teammates and the media's really harping on that team. And I just thought they were going to come out and try to prove something, which they did. That first half, it looked like the Steelers were going to walk away with that game. And I was just like, I said we were going to lose by 10. I didn't say we were going to lose by 40. And I was feeling a little bummed. But I was pretty defeated. But then I took a moment at halftime to look at the stats, and I was like, you know what, though? We're performing pretty well. It's just a lot of stuff hasn't gone our way, which is fine. And about the end of the third quarter is when I started to have a heart attack. Is when I think that was when Phillip Rivers threw it into double coverage and Keenan Allen just, I don't know what happened. He Phillip Rivers threw what should have been an interception.
Tip drill.
And Joe Hayden had it in his hands, and he got smacked by his own teammate and Sean Davis, and that ball popped up, and Keenan Allen made a heck of a play to somehow get his hands under that and catch it. That was such a quick reaction. Awesome play by the Slayer. And even still then, I was like, okay, that's good. But it took them a long time to get that drive done. It was a long drive. And so at that point, I think we forced the Steelers to punt it. And Desmond King took it to the house. And at that point, it was a tie game, and I was feeling it. It was a tie game after Keenan Allen got the two-point conversion, and I was definitely feeling it. And I started to hate the Chargers while also being hyped for the Chargers because they were giving me hope. And it's never a good thing when the Chargers give you hope. They tied it up. Chargers scored again, I think, and then the Steelers scored. And the Chargers got it with about 4 minutes left. You see Justin Jackson just running it down the field, getting them into field goal range. And it's basically the Keenan Allen, Justin Jackson show, where those two are just single-handedly moving that offense down the field. And Justin Jackson is just showing these amazing cuts and this crazy lateral movement where it looked like there was nothing there, and he'd take like a juke step outside like he was going to bounce out, and then he'd cut in through the hole. And it was very like a mix between Le'Veon Bell and like an old school power back kind of vibe that was going through it. Kind of like
he averaged like what, 10 yards carry last night?
Pretty close. And the week before, he averaged about 8. So, I mean, he's looked fantastic. And for him and Keenan Allen to drive down the field like that, it really showed what this Chargers offense can do with the right personnel. So, like, Travis Benjamin's always on the field doing those motions. I'd scrap that, and I'd put Austin Eckler or Justin Jackson there and run those motions when you're running Melvin Gordon or one of the other two. But yeah. Aside from that, you had Keenan Allen on 3rd and 4. I think the Chargers were at their own or at the Steelers 44, and Keenan Allen just murders his defender on a faking a stick route and then just plants his foot and heads outside. And Keenan Allen was destroying that defense all night long. They had no answer for him. And so I think they finally just said, all right, let him stay open. We're going to cover everybody else. And that didn't really work. So then it comes down to my biggest nightmare, a field goal. And
dun, dun, dun.
And I saw him miss the first one, and I thought we were going to overtime because I didn't see the flag. All I was looking at was the kicker and the field goal net, and I was just like, wouldn't it be so Chargers if he just whiffed on this right now and the Steelers got the coin toss and just won without our offense ever seeing the field? And I was, I felt it in my bones. And when he missed it, I was about to cry because I could feel Big Ben just licking his lips, and I could feel Antonio Brown rubbing his hands together and licking his gloves, and I felt like it was all over. And then I saw that they went off sides. Big sigh of relief, and then I was even more terrified. Well, here comes the second one, and it's blocked. And this time I did see the offside, so I wasn't all that bummed about it, but I was still pretty terrified.
Right.
Then the third one, and I think at this point they were just jumping offsides on purpose. I don't know. I don't know, but they jumped offsides a third time, and this time Badgley just waited for him to dive by before he kicked it. So I guess smart on him. And it was pretty funny how fast the ref was like, all right, game's over. It's like offsides, penalty decline, game over.
That was pretty ridiculous. The ending of that game was, I don't know how you get that many offside penalties like right in a row. It's like they forgot that they have to wait till the ball is hiked to,
it seemed intentional.
Actually rush the...
The Chargers finally showed that they could contend in the AFC. They are now at a point where I can say, oh my God, we might go to the Super Bowl.
All right. Episode 4. We're back. We had some technical difficulties. So at the beginning here, you just heard a couple different takes from Jason and I.
Oh, wait. I didn't hit record.
Oh, God.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking.
Wait, so you are recording?
Yep.
Yeah, he's just pulling your
Continue.
Chain.
Okay. Anyway, so a little bit of technical difficulties, but we're just going to pick up kind of where we were, which is kind of for our teams. AFC West, first round draft pick prediction. We're going to get into the end of the college football season. So I think this is a perfect time to kind of give our early predictions. I was thinking about doing like a top 10, like, you know, picks 1 through 10. But I figured we'd kind of prepare a little bit more for that, and we can just kind of go into, cause I'm sure we all know who we want our teams to draft in the first round this year. For the most part. So,
to be fair, I have no idea.
You have no idea.
I'm thinking about it right now.
I've got a pretty good idea. 10.
I need to.
Yeah,
Chargers are picking 32nd, so it's gonna be late.
Oh gosh.
Hey, who's your quarterback again?
Oh, there's some guy. I don't remember his name.
Phillip Rivers, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How's he in the playoffs?
He's fine.
Okay. Good record.
Not when he's playing Peyton Manning.
Okay, I think like
so,
the what?
Okay, so we'll hold off on draft.
Same,
second, then.
Same as Andy Reid, right?
1-8. Hey, I'm not saying that I've not picked the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl once. So
I know.
I said it more as a joke.
I know. I just like to keep everyone honest here.
So while Jason's thinking, I'll start. I don't think I'll be able to salvage this part of the previous. Our attempt at the podcast earlier. So I think Denver,
I think we
could
still guess who you're taking.
Yeah. Well, Denver could go a couple ways here. We'll have, by the looks of it, like 15, 16, maybe probably 15 through 20, I would assume, at this point.
I'd say about 17.
Yeah. I think that's where I'm thinking. Somewhere in that range. But, at the beginning of the season, I was like, we're easily going defensive tackle because that's kind of a part we struggled with. But like I was telling you guys, Adam Gotsis and Shelby Harris have been playing really well. And they both have some youth to them still. Definitely could get 5 years out of both of them still. So I think as it stands, I think that part is covered. Because at the beginning of the season, I would have told you we're going to take Dexter Lawrence from Clemson. That would be a great addition to our defense. But I think, but the way they've been playing, Pecco's getting up there in age, but he's like the oldest defensive tackle we have. Derek Wolf's also getting up there in age too, so I could see us trying to get. And I don't think is it Clellan or Clot? How do you, is that right?
I always Clellan call him Clellan.
Clellan, yeah, Clellan. I could see us taking Farrell, but I don't think he's gonna drop that far to us. But I think right now we have to address. I think we have to address our middle linebacker position, and I'll give both takes on where I think we could go. Definitely middle linebacker. If Devin White drops to us, I think that's kind of where we go. He would be a great addition. He's a great run stopper. His awareness is through the roof. His ability to recognize plays, and then not to mention his crazy speed, which I'm excited to see what he runs in that 40 time, because he's an absolute monster. And I think his ceiling is one of the highest out of this class. So I think that's where we go if he falls to him. A lot of mock drafts that I've looked at, they have him falling like past us, which I think is crazy. But if he does fall that far down, love to see Devin White in that class. If we don't go Devin White and we decide to hang on to Todd Davis and Brandon Marshall, I think we do go edge rusher, or excuse me, we add something to the defensive line, and so that takes me back to us drafting probably Dexter Lawrence, or I think Quinnen Williams is getting a lot of hype that he should be taken really early. I think that kind of falls off towards the end of the year, and I could see us drafting him too. But I think
he's better than Ed Oliver.
See, that's what a lot of people are saying, but I don't really believe that myself. But I mean, Ed Oliver can drop to Denver too. That's cool if that happens. But yeah, I think those are. I think we're going defensive line for sure. Now, you know, John Elway could pull a John Elway, and we could come out there and draft Daniel Jones from Duke, which is highly likely that we would do that because John Elway's in office there in Denver. But I think we address the defensive line. I could see us potentially getting a corner as well. I think because, you know, with the addition of – or with Bradley Roby playing the outside now, which clearly – he has no business playing. He's got to get back in that corner or that nickel slot. So we could go cornerback too, because there's a couple good ones in this draft as well. But
if you want DB, if you want corners, or you want any spot on the D line, this is your draft.
True.
Mm-hmm. D line is so stacked. Interior, edge rush. Doesn't matter. That D line in this class is ridiculous. You got Nick Bosa, Ed Oliver, Quinnen Williams, Clellan Farrell. The names go on and on and on.
Terry Beckner Jr., Rashawn Gary.
Yeah.
Rashawn Gary is a good one, too.
Christian Wilkins, Dexter Lawrence. There's so much.
Chase Winovich.
Yeah, the defensive talent is in this draft is probably the best we've seen in a really long time.
Not a lot of good safeties, though. I could name maybe two that'll be good.
Yeah, Deontay Thompson, and then what's that guy from LSU?
Greedy Williams.
Yeah. Well, Greedy's a corner, though, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. The, sorry, I thought you were
the two safeties.
The
There's
two
another
safeties
safety
Taylor
from LSU. Or,
Lucas Dennis and Juan Thornhill are my
two
safeties.
Thornhill's like good.
What about Taylor Rapp out of Washington?
I haven't watched him, honest.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I saw a mock draft today that Denver was going to draft Noah Fant, which I know we have tight end issues, but I mean,
you got the butt.
I doubt that Noah Fant.
Yeah, you got the butt, man.
Yeah, I know. If he can stay on the field more than one game.
Also, what about that tight end with the missing finger? Fumagalli? I don't know his name.
Troy Fumagalli?
Yeah, him.
I don't know, he's missing a finger.
isn't he? Am I thinking of the wrong guy?
No, you're I think you're right. I don't pay too much attention to him.
All right, moving on to Caleb, I guess.
Yeah, I'm trying. I was trying to find the name of that that safety out of LSU, but I can't find it. But you can go ahead, and I'll probably figure it out by the time. So all go ahead.
So with the Chiefs, really, besides maybe your third or fourth round pick, I think you're all in on defense, and then I'd probably look for a running back. Depending on where he lands in the draft, I'd be looking at Benny Snell for the new running back. But for first round, I'm looking at Julian Love, the cornerback out of Notre Dame, because I assume the Chiefs will draft somewhere between 28 and 32. The more intriguing one I'm looking to is the Packers draft, because they got the two first rounders. One, they'll probably be picking like 10th, and then with the Saints pick, they'll probably have the 32nd pick. So, some of the guys I'm looking at for them to
Breeze
take.
Breeze versus Rivers Super Bowl.
Deontay Thompson, obviously a safety out of Alabama with Hawkland Dix gone and looking to rebuild. They could
stupidest move him. Ever in franchise
yeah.
history.
Oh, agreed. Completely agree. So, Deontay Thompson, that's one guy I'm definitely looking at. Josh Allen, obviously bringing the pass rush edge. Nick Perry, I think he's gone because he's always hurt. Clay Matthews, I think it's time to move on from him because he's like 90. So Josh Allen would be my favorite pick there, but I would also love getting Deontay Thompson. So those are two.
Can I just say real quick, the best thing about Clay Matthews now is that if you go on Facebook and you saw Kareem Hunt's video and stuff, there's comments down below that Clay Matthews got suspended for 10 games for it.
Wait, what?
So if you go to the Kareem Hunt got suspended news below, you'll see that he got kicked out or exempted. If you look at the comments, it'll say Clay Matthews somehow got flagged and suspended for 6 games for this. And that's my favorite thing about Clay Matthews now is that he's some sort of NFL meme.
Yeah. He's always getting penalized. But if someone else were to grab Josh Allen, he weren't there. Another one I'd be looking at, and I'm going to butcher his name, is Jachi Polite from Florida. I think that dude would be a stud as an edge rusher as well.
I haven't watched him yet either.
Yeah, check him out. I think you would like him. So, Polite and Josh Allen or Deontay Thompson would be some of the guys I'd use that first pick on. And then the late first round, if these guys are still there, I'd be looking at Taylor Rapp, the safety out of Washington, Daniel's boy, Hollywood Brown. Get a slot receiver from Oklahoma, even though we need to focus more on defense. And then finally the last guy was Montez Sweat, the edge rusher from Mississippi State.
Ooh,
I don't like him. I think if they came away with Josh Allen and Montez Sweat, I wouldn't have any complaints because I think that'd be a nightmare for the rest of the quarterbacks in the league.
I actually think Sweat is a little better than Josh Allen.
You know, you might be right. Granted, I saw Josh Allen in person. Because I went to the Mizzou Kentucky game, worst game ever. But Josh Allen was in the backfield on every play, and he was always looking to create chaos. Great run stopper, great getting pressure on the quarterback. And Mizzou's O line was no joke. They had a really good O line. Since they returned most of their guys from last year, when last year they only allowed one sack, and Right. Yeah, Josh Allen was all over it. So Allen, Sweat, and Rapp for that. Late first-round pick, early first-round, Deontay Thompson, Polite, and Josh Allen. Those are the guys I'm looking at for the Packers. And then, obviously, with the Chiefs, you've seen their defense. I think secondary is where they need the help, and I think Julian Love will probably be the guy they go with as far as who's available when they come up to pick.
Nice. All right, Jason, who you got? All right.
So...
Justin
Chargers
Herbert.
Going to be picking a little. Oh God. Chargers going to be picking a little later, so it's tougher when you got a late pick like that.
Oh, in this draft.
But I'm gonna say that I'm gonna narrow it down to a couple guys. One is Lucas Dennis. The free safety. The college is evading my mind right now.
LSU.
Is it LSU?
No, it's not LSU.
I thought that's
LSU.
What you said.
But Lucas Dennis, it might be that free safety that the Chargers are really
Boston
missing.
Boston College.
Got you. Okay, yes. He might be that guy that the Chargers are really missing because right now they have Jahlil Adai back there as the free safety, which is horrible. Jalen Samuels beat him to the edge on a little option route that Jahlil Adai had a head start on, and Jalen Samuels still beat him to the edge, so that hurt. Could also be looking at somebody like Hollywood Brown, somebody who a lot of people have falling to the second.
Dumb.
And if he's still available late, that's a very big possibility to replace Travis Benjamin, who I doubt they are going to keep around. They'd be crazy to keep him around. So I really like Hollywood Brown in that spot as well. And then for the last bit, I like Trey Lamar. The Denzel Perryman has never had a healthy season before, and I mean he's a middle linebacker, so it's kind of to be expected that he'd get banged up. But he's also going into a contract. He's in his contract year right now, so he's going to be a free agent going into this year. So I think Trey Lamar is a big possibility if he falls.
Yeah.
So far I got Lucas Dennis, Hollywood Brown, and Trey Lamar. And lastly, I think maybe they would consider a quarterback. Really depends. I don't really like anybody in this draft when it comes to quarterback, but if you're talking pick number 28 to 32, then I could see if Herbert somehow fell there, then I would be okay with it. Also would be okay with Locke at that point, but if we're talking early picks, I wouldn't take either one, but if we're talking late first round, I would consider taking Herbert or Locke or maybe even Haskins.
Okay.
I think Haskins might be the only quarterback in this draft I would personally consider taking early, but that's just me. I'm not a big fan of this class. I don't even think I'm sold on taking Haskins early. I think I would have to take him mid-round. So my number one favorite pick that the Chargers could possibly make would be Hollywood Brown.
Okay.
Nice. Sweet. Yeah, that's good. Before we switch here, did you say Dwayne Haskins? Like, what did you mean by mid-round? Like mid-draft?
Mid-first round.
Reach.
I don't think he's... that's a reach. I don't think he's worth any more. Even a third round is a reach for me, but...
It just comes down to, I think he's the best quarterback in this class, and I don't think it's necessarily close, other than maybe Drew Locke.
I was going to say, number three from Missouri is your best quarterback in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, Dwayne Haskins to me. Yeah, but my point in him not being a first round pick and Haskins, even if he maybe has like one of the higher ceilings and his potential, you don't waste a first round pick on somebody who just now started in college football. In my opinion, even if Kyler declared, like, I don't think he should be first round, just because, I mean, it's his first year. Dwayne
Kyler,
Haskins,
I would take with the number one pick.
I know you would.
I look at stuff like throw under pressure, accuracy. I don't so much look at throw power, but I do look at it, mainly when you got an arm like Kyler Murray. And when I watch both Haskins and Kyler Murray, they're the guys who throw under pressure the best in this class. So I'm sold.
So let's move on to what you introduced us to, Jason.
What I introduce? Remind me. Oh, the AAF. All right. I'm seeing a lot of
Holy
guys that
cow.
I like to watch in college.
You know the first thing I just pulled up? I don't mean to interrupt, but you know the first thing I interrupt? Or the first thing I just pulled up? The Arizona Hotshots drafted Trevor Knight from Oklahoma.
Yep.
All right. Well, I'm sold now.
Josh Johnson went to the San Diego Fleet, so you know I'm a Fleet fan. Josh Johnson was one of my favorite players.
Dude, BJ Daniels. There's really a lot of names on here that it's like.
Where'd BJ Daniels go?
BJ Daniels is on Salt Lake City.
Oh, I like him a lot.
For everybody that doesn't know, do you want to give everybody a run through of what the AAF is, Jason?
Okay, so the AAF is going to be a February starting league. So it's going to be during the spring when there's no football. The Super Bowl has just ended, and the AAF is going to kick off the week right after the Super Bowl. And what it is it's kind of a, think of it as like a minor league football, minor league NFL. It's got a lot of retired NFL players. A lot of college players who didn't make it to the NFL are going to the AAF. And it's not like it's flag football. It's not like it's arena. It's not Canadian. It's legit NFL rules. So that it's fully padded. NFL rules. I believe it's 15-minute quarters. They're not going to have breaks, though, so they're not going to have a halftime. There's going to be 60% less commercials, and I believe they're working on a few more things to just upgrade the pace in the game.
Did they say what it's going to be televised on?
CBS Sports.
Look at them trying to make more money and get you to, you know, go to their subscription service.
They're also going to be streaming the games off of their app.
Good.
From what I've gathered.
Nice.
So, not only is this awesome for the football off season because it's so freaking long.
Dude, DJ Calhoun is on the Arizona Hotshots. I'm gonna just this is crazy. Continue.
So what they did is they get players by region. Instead of like signing players, they got them by region. So if you're like from a college in California, you're gonna go to the San Diego Fleet. And what they did was they wanted each team to have a good quarterback. They wanted good quarterbacks around the league. They didn't want any region locked QBs. So what you had the option of doing is you had the option of protecting a quarterback in the quarterback draft, or you could pick one from a different region. So Josh Johnson, he's from San Diego, so they protected him with the first pick so that nobody else could draft him. So then I believe the first three picks were protect picks. And then I think Aaron Murray was actually a pick where they took him from a different region. I can't remember. It should be on their website. Wow. But
dude, look at the Arizona Hotshots roster when you guys get a chance. They have like pretty strong players. There's some good
players across the board. You remember Bishop Sankey? Yeah, he's on the Fleet. So it's gonna be fun to watch. Also, you got a few ex-Charger players that are recognized on the Fleet as well. So it's gonna be a lot of fun watching these games and kind of seeing all this different talent. It's like a separate path to the NFL. If I remember right, it's a 10-week season and a 10-week regular season, and then if you include playoffs, it's an extra 2 weeks.
Here's a name you guys haven't heard in a while. Where did it go? I like saw it and then I went past it on accident. Chris Givens.
You also got Chris Davis, the hero of the Iron Bowl from 2013-2014. So that's something to be excited about as we approach the end of the football season. So all is not lost. There's something to do. We're gonna be kind of keeping up with that. I know all three of us are interested in doing some topics on the AAF sometimes, or even keeping up with some teams. And the cool part about this is none of us have a bias yet. So, also, that brings up another thing about this league, and something a lot of people might not like, but I definitely like, is that there's no kickoffs. And what it is instead of So what happens is your team gets it on the 35 or the 25. I can't remember which it is. Right after a touchdown. And you have to go for two. There's no PATs. You have to go for two. So if you want to onside kick, what you do is you get it on the 35-yard line, and it's 4th and 10. And you have to convert it if you want to keep the ball. So it's like a normal drive, but you start 4th and 10. So that's exciting to me, because even if you're down by 21 with 2 minutes left, there's still a chance, and a legit chance. It's not like you have to get an onside kick and it has to bounce right. You get it on the 35, fourth down, go get the first down. I love it.
But, yeah, this is the – called this the end of episode 4. Yeah, we'll jump into some college football stuff next week. Get in some topics here before the playoffs starts, everything like that. So maybe talk some more about the draft coming up. Give some insights on that too, and we'll see where the NFL season lies after next week too. So thanks for listening, everybody.